Welcome to the WERNAP Blowing Hot Air podcast, powered by Oxygen Plus, featuring amazing athletes and wellness-minded individuals who share how they elevate their everyday lives.
On this episode, we host Dr. Sarah Petrick, a doctor of physical therapy who is certified in postural restoration and the Pilates method. She shares some tips and even her hot takes in health and wellness. Get ready to be educated.
Dr. Sarah Petrick, it is fantastic to have you here. Dr. Sarah, before we let you take the reins and lead us down a journey of breathing health and revelation, I want to just share with our listeners a bit about who you are. You're a doctor of physical therapy, certified in postural restoration and the Pilates method, and you are a friend to Oxygen Plus because you helped us develop the way to breathe our oxygen canisters most effectively, which hopefully we can just get into later so we can just always be the source of education about how to do things the best way when breathing our products. However, now, Dr. Sarah, I'm sure I did not do you justice in that intro. Why don't you share a little bit more about who you are and what we can expect today?
Well, thanks for having me, Lauren.
Ben's here too.
Yeah, I'm here too. I made it back for the second one too. They kept me on the podcast.
Ben team. Johnson, everybody.
I made the cut.
Oh well, I guess I should recognize you too then. Thanks for having me on. Lauren said, I'm a doctor of physical therapy, and my specialty is in this thing called postural restoration, and it's kind of a unique approach to the body, and it looks at rebalancing the whole body, kind of like a chiropractor would want to neutralize a body, but it's from a very different perspective at looking at multiple systems, including your respiratory system, which is what we're going to focus a lot more on, but also neurology and, of course, your muscles and skeletal system. But sometimes it even integrates vision and hearing and all sorts of other senses, because all of those things that all those aspects of our body give us information in our environments and affect our posture and the way we react to our environments. So that's kind of the background of my specialty and focus. And then I put that into my Pilates practice, and I teach at a Pilates studio. So I do that on a regular basis to help people really get some flow and movement in through their body.
That's awesome. How long have you been kind of in the Pilates space and kind of doing your expertise?
I graduated in 2005 and actually started working on that specialty of postural restoration even a little bit before that, and got certified in 2011. So it's 2005, boy, it's getting close to 20 years. That's kind of scary, actually.
Wow. So that must make you an expert.
one hope. And then I've been doing Pilates, and I've been interested in Pilates for a long time because I grew up dancing, and Pilates is really integrated in the dance world quite a bit. So I really wanted to learn that. And part of it is, and part of my interest in physical therapy in the first place was really to look at the whole body and how it moves together. One of the faults in physical therapy can be sometimes that we're so focused on just one joint and trying to correct the movement in one joint, except for the joints are all around it also affect the movement patterns of that area. So my focus I wanted it to be more of how everything integrates with movement mechanics. And so both postural restoration and Pilates both gel well together that way. And so that's kind of how I went down that path, and continue to apparently not be done with it.
Well, right. And you're not just gracing our airwaves with your presence. You've also, can you share a bit more about the other places that you teach and how you get the message out? Because it's more than just your private practice. I think our listeners would love to know kind of where you've been and how desired your input and guide is on this topic.
I've taught at the multiple different kind of hospitals and clinics. Most recently, the Emory Clinic, and I've been at Mayo Clinic here in Minnesota. But I get around all over the country.
That's amazing. It sounds like one of the things I was going to ask you about was dance kind of your inspiration to maybe get into kind of like physical therapy and Pilates? Because I played baseball for 16 years and I actually got injured a lot. And because of that, I worked with a lot of physical therapists and I kind of was like inspired to get into it. Ultimately, like I didn't go down that road, but I felt like because I was injured so much and I saw a lot of PT and went to a lot of those sessions, it kind of inspired me. So I was wondering, was dance that inspiration for you to get into PT and Pilates?
Dance was an inspiration for me to study movement. So I wanted to understand biomechanics, and that's why I went into physical therapy. I was very lucky to not have many injuries growing up. I didn't start getting injured until I was in PT school.
Were they lazy with the Cadillacs or what? Sloppy weight sharing.
Well, it was a little frustrating actually to be in PT school and be getting injured because one of my problems was in rehabbing was if you tested me as far as strength, I was really strong. If you tested my flexibility, I was flexible. So from a very basic standpoint, what's going on as far as why am I getting injured? Why am I getting stress fractures and knee pain and plantar fasciitis and SI pain all of a sudden? One of the differences that was going on for me is I was way too busy because of school to have balance in the way I was working out. So I was teaching dance, but I almost for most of my life was a runner or I'd lift weights as well. And I didn't have time to do that during grad school. So I lost some of that counterbalance of what was keeping me balanced in my whole body. And so that's actually how I got interested in the specialty of postural restoration, because it was one of the few approaches to physical therapy that all of a sudden there were tests and measures that I was failing. And you would think that would be a bad thing, but when you're injured, you kind of want to have answers. And it was kind of exciting, like, oh my gosh, I failed a test. How do I, you know, fix that? Mm. And so that's kind of how I went down my specialty route. But dance certainly gave me the impetus to just want to study movement mechanics itself.
We should point out that you work with ballet dancers, you work with professional athletes, you work with... Mm-hmm. The mom down the street. You work with all kinds of people who just want to function and flow better in their whether they're injured or not. You work with them much, yep. I guess, like a chiropractor, but with way more science behind the.
Science behind chiropractic. Okay. I'm not a chiropractor.
Okay. So some people don't believe. They would say that's blowing hot air, but yeah.
my standpoint is when you get off the table, you still have the same brain that walked you in, into those doors in the first place. And that brain, really dictates your movement patterns. And if you have the same movement patterns that you walked in with and you didn't change them or change the way you sense your body, even though you're aligned, you're just going to go back into old patterns of movement and you're going to have to go back in to get an adjustment. And you'll have to do that regularly. I would prefer to teach people how to be their own chiropractor and also reteach them how to move their bodies so that they don't need to depend on me. And that would be lovely because I'm already busy enough in my schedule. So And everybody,
you don't want your patients to keep coming back.
Well, you know, there's a few special ones that we really enjoy every week. But
okay.
But I don't want them coming back hurting every week. I also do just, you know, we do classes and things like that to maintain some of these movement patterns. But yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So get fixed and then stay flowing and active, but know exactly. Your alignment. Okay.
Right, yeah. Sure.
That's really awesome. Thank you for that explanation. I learned a lot.
I certainly learned a lot. Why don't you tell our listeners about some of the challenges, hot takes in your professional career when it comes to breathing or Pilates?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges maybe in any field is regularly, especially in medicine, you kind of have your traditional thought processes that you've been taught in school, and that also culturally we have. And so one of the biggest complaints I have is if you even Google diaphragmatic breathing, every single first page website, if you open it up, will describe belly breathing. Now, that's certainly diaphragmatic breathing. If you were not using your diaphragm, technically, you would have to be on some kind of type of mechanical ventilation, because you really can't live without your diaphragm, because it breathes for you. The big thing, the big elephant in the room is really, how are you using that diaphragm? And belly breathing, it was one type of breathing, but it's always driven me nuts, even before I knew more about breathing mechanics, because growing up as a dancer, there's no way I can belly breathe on stage. Nobody wants to see that. if you think about other important aspects to movement, we always talk about your core, right? And we want your core to be engaged. Well, if you're expanding only your belly and it's protruding out, there's no way you're keeping your core on. And so if I've been taught two things that are hypocritical, I've been taught you need to have your core stability all the time. Even when you're sleeping, your abdominals should be working for you a little bit, because that's what helps decompress your spine. But at the same time, I'm supposed to belly breathe. Those two things don't add up. And so I've been lucky enough to have some really good mentors that have taught me some other aspects of thinking through diaphragmatic breathing that include your core. So my biggest problem is sometimes we have things that we're taught traditionally, but we don't logically put things together that make sense. And so diaphragmatic breathing really should be more than just belly breathing. And we should be also thinking about other aspects of our body and our mechanics that should go along with our diaphragm, like our core.
That's awesome. I've heard like core strength, like talked about like all the time. And so even for me, like, I don't know everything about it, but I used to sing a lot. So I was in choir and they'd always talk about like, oh, breathe from, you know, the diaphragm and things like that. And then when I kind of learned about the core strength, I'm like, how do I do both things like at once? So it's exactly like what you're talking about, where it's like, how do we do both things? You can't sometimes.
I have worked with singers before, and I'll never forget my first opera singer. She only had back pain when she performed and sang.
What?
In vocal performance, most people are taught traditionally a belly breathing style, and that's what diaphragmatic breathing is. Now, that doesn't make sense on a few levels. When you exhale, that's when you're singing. And when you exhale, your diaphragm relaxes. It does not engage. It's supposed to be lengthening. And then it's when you inhale that the diaphragm contracts. So we should be saying inhale with your diaphragm and exhale, are you ready for it? With your abs. That's what you should be singing with, is your abdominals. And to be honest, the best vocal teachers in the country will say, you need to exhale and use your whole body. You need to use the ground. You need to use your feet, because your limbs even help you find your core stability and help you project. And so there's a lot of tradition when it comes to teaching breath, even in singing or in yoga practice. And there's, just to be fair for yoga, there's a multiple yoga breathing styles. But for some reason, everybody just globs on to belly breathing for the most part. So we need to appreciate a different aspect of breathing as well. And then we can say, we can take a nod to tradition and culture, saying, oh, this is how we've interpreted breathing techniques. However, science really tells us, if we are going to think about this critically, we can do this better. And so if we have your abdominals helping support your rib cage position and putting it in the correct alignment as you exhale and keeping your abdominals on as you breathe in, then your belly's not going to protrude as much, but you'll have your core stability and you're still actually going to activate your diaphragm. You're actually going to do a better job of activating your diaphragm when your abdominals are engaged as you inhale, because of how it's supporting your posture for your rib cage. And so for this opera singer, all we had to do was change. And I say all we had to do, this is a big ask for a lot of people to change their perspective on how they've been trained. Mm-hmm. But we had to train exhalation and decompression of the spine at the same time while she projected and sang, and then keep those abdominals on while she inhaled, so that she could both sing and project, but also still have stability for her spine.
You know, I'm fascinated though, Sarah. So many people, myself included, struggle with knowing if I'm breathing the best way when I'm not like doing like my singing or working out or like something intentional, like meditative breathing, breath work, Wim Hof, yoga, all that. Like, how do you know just on a day-to-day that you're breathing
how do you
the
know?
Best way, that your parasympathetic system is in line with, like, how that you're not interceding or interrupting the best way to just breathe? Like, and I know nose breathing is also something I think hopefully we can touch on, but just like in terms of the diaphragmatic breath, like, what are the signs that, you know, hey, I'm breathing all right and I'm not overstressing my system?
Well, you kind of already touched on it a little bit in your question. So if you're just at rest doing daily activities, if you have a good quality resting breath cycle and technique, and I say technique, but you kind of want to have it, you need your breath to be unconscious. So, because you're not going to think about it 24/7. You're not going to be doing the dishes and going, oh, am I breathing correctly? So we want to accidentally be breathing correctly. And sometimes that requires a little bit of focused training at certain points. But if you are breathing well, you should feel more relaxed. And your breath, if you're breathing well with your core, your breath should help you relax your neck and your back. All of those pesky areas that people always complain about, where they're like, when I'm stressed, this is where my stress goes to. Those areas should all relax when you're breathing correctly with your core. And then the
is it fair to say then, if somebody has like kind of like they're going through something and they have neck and back pain, it could be that their breathing is askew?
Oh, absolutely. And stress will impact your breathing negatively. So, I mean, it's true. People often go, well, when I'm stressed, that's when my back goes out or my neck goes out. And there's total truth to that. You can have mechanical issues that lead to that, but you can also just be stressed, and that produces a change in how shallow you're breathing, which can increase your sympathetic nervous system. And when you're more stressed, you create more tension in your body. And certainly there might be certain areas that you're more prone to feeling that those results in. And so when psychologists talk about doing slow, deep breaths, they're not wrong. It helps decrease anxiety. It helps decrease muscle tension, but also slowing down your breath and focusing on it can help improve your breath mechanics, increase your core, depending on the style of breathing that you're doing, and also help your body mechanics as well. So basically, psychology and your body are all connected.
So effortless breathing and kind of accidental abs, core engagement.
That's one of my favorite phrases, as you know. I love accidental abs. I like to go, oh, whoops, your abs are on. Oh, darn. And that's kind of what you want for day-to-day activity, because that's the other thing I always like to preach is people are interested in strengthening their core so that they can walk better or move better. However, there's just no way you can think about engaging your abdominals all the time. It's just not going to work that way. So you want to train them so that they're subconscious and they work with your breath, which both aspects, you want core all the time and you'd like good diaphragmatic breathing to keep you more in a regularly parasympathetic nervous system state so that you're relaxed and you can move well throughout the day without having to think about a million things, because we already have enough things to think about in our society, don't we? So, so you can't worry about your breath and your core all the time when you also have to, you know, worry about your work stress and all of those other things. So you have to train it.
Yeah. No, I just with anything else, right? Just takes time and training and you'll be an expert like you.
Well, I try, but I still have to work on it. I think it's one of those lifetime things that you can always get better at.
For sure.
Well, you've certainly made the way we understand breathing our own product of recreational oxygen more better. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't like talk through kind of how cool that was and how what the breathing technique actually is, and what are the mechanics of how we now speak about breathing oxygen plus.
Right. Well, Lauren, you and I were talking one day and I just thought, you know, you can allow your customers or the customers of that are taking O plus, they can get a lot more bang for their buck and bang for each like inhale of oxygen. If you make sure that before you take that inhale, you exhale completely. From a logical standpoint, you want to get rid of all the dead, air that you've already used in your lungs. You want to get more of it out so you can inhale more of the product in the first place. But in addition to that, when you exhale completely and then pause a little bit and hold your breath a little longer, you do increase a little bit of the carbon dioxide levels in your blood. And you need enough carbon dioxide levels in your blood to help release the oxygen out of your hemoglobin and deliver it to your tissues. So I kind of like to imagine when you breathe in, you got oxygen that goes into your lungs and then it disperses into your bloodstream and then it's traveled to your tissues via the blood cells, and it specifically sits in your hemoglobin. I like to think of it like a roller coaster, and you're like riding on the roller coaster to the tissues, but you do need somebody to help you out of the roller coaster. So you need someone to grab your hand and pull it out, and that's carbon dioxide. So you have to have enough carbon dioxide in your blood system to pull the awesome recreational oxygen out of your hemoglobin and deliver it to your tissues so you can actually take advantage of it.
Yes. And the other thing that, you know, we mentioned before, yoga breathing, how a lot of it is through the nose.
Yep.
How is that kind of the other main, I think, specialty that Oxygen Plus is very thoughtful about, and how we talk about how to best breathe O plus.
In general, I like to promote, especially at rest and for daily activities, nasal breathing for many obvious reasons. I mean, your nose is meant to filter out your air and pollutants and all of that. But it also help when you breathe through your nose, it opens up your upper airway as well. And so you get a much fuller inhale that also helps. It's actually a better way of breathing for your cranium and for the neck. Now, usually when I'm doing breathing training, I do inhale through the nose and exhale through the mouth because I'm usually trying to get people to get rid of more air quicker. But when it comes to just like restful breathing, nasal breathing is really king, unless you're doing some specific training.
So when you take up, when you take up, well, just sure. No, just like, so when you're taking up a can of Oxygen Plus, yep. And especially I think new people who have never tried breathing out of a can before, I think they get like, you know, it's a little intimidating. So it's to exhale all the air, right?
Yep.
Let that carbon dioxide, let it have the best chance possible. Kind of hold your breath until you're hungry for air, until there's that like kind of, oh my God, am I going to breathe again? Am I going to die? Right. No, I'm not that extreme.
You don't want to wait till you're like panicking. You just want to feel like, you just want to feel like you got a sense of hunger for air. Like your brain is starting to tell you, I should probably breathe in right now. You want to wait for that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get a much bigger, fuller breath of air in, and you're going to help open up your upper airway as well, which will give you more benefits from a cranium standpoint. And if you just think of your sinuses are right behind your eyes, right? And they're right on top of your upper airway. So you've got your nose and then you've got your sinuses behind there. You're going to get much more expansion of those sinuses, which is going to feel a lot better too. So you'll get a lot more benefits from inhaling through your nose.
Yeah. Okay. So that was it. So exhale, hold it until you're hungry for that air, push the button, bring it up to your nose, not in, but up to it. And then push the button and take a breath. And how should that breath be through the nose? Like what would be kind of an ideal experience? Like often I like to talk about it like smelling a rose. It should just kind of be that like kind of a gentle, we don't want to be right. I'm going to leave that in the podcast and we're not cutting that.
Yeah, it sounds good.
That was a really nice snort there.
I think this is going to be one of our all time highest listened to podcast episodes.
Everybody listen because you'll get the chance to hear Lauren snort.
Yeah! I'm crazy today. I'm all about the oxygen. No, yeah. So like what just talk about like that experience, Sarah. Like what's ideal?
Well, as you inhale through your nose, you don't want to have it be panicky. Because you don't want to be gasping for air, like in the sense like you're driving up your sympathetic nervous system. So you want to be just a little. It's just going to be a little challenged before you inhale. You got that hunger for air, but then you can inhale through your nose. But I like that image of like you're breathing in like a really good smelling rose, and you can inhale. And you can imagine almost trying to inhale all the way down to your pelvic floor as well, which would be an extra benefit, because that would actually fill the back of your rib cage a little bit more, and you're going to relax your nervous system even more that way. So it'll be really good for recovery.
For sure.
Awesome. So that is a challenge to our listeners who are also our customers. Get your can of O+ out and breathe it. Like you mean it with deep intention, and until that even kind of becomes normal, learning how to breathe O+.
Yeah. And if you can, sometimes it's helpful for some people to think about inhaling into the back of their throat, because that'll open up even more of their upper airway.
Okay.
And you'll be able to get even more oxygen.
That's awesome.
Thank you. And thank you again for all the development and work that went into this that now we have as our education to our awesome customers. Well, so Sarah, we always love to ask our podcast guest about what's really inspired them in terms of who has inspired them, because every person is important and reaches different people. So if you had to choose one person in your life who's impacted you the most, who is it and why?
That's always hard to pick one, right? Because for different for aspects sure. of your life.
The rest of them will get mad at you if they hear this.
That's the other reason.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah, tell us your favorite and then we won't tell the others.
Can be our secret.
The founder of the Pastoral Restoration Institute, Ron Ruska, who I consider a great mentor of mine, both taught me a lot of these great concepts, particularly revolving around breathing, but other things as well. But one of the great things about him is that he's also humble and continues to learn, if that makes sense. And so, you know, when you stopped learning, you might as well quit, I think, as far as in your career or whatever it is you're doing, because then you kind of lose that enthusiasm. But as much as he's accomplished, he continues to be an avid learner and continues to be humble and a great listener. And so it's just when you meet somebody who's accomplished a lot, but still is an incredibly good person at heart and respects all people, that is inspiring. As yes, you want to be a person that achieves a lot, but you also want to be a good person along the way.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
That's awesome. Love it.
I love it. No, you have, I feel like I've learned so much today. Like, you know, everyone breathes, you know, every single day, everyone does, but knowing some of the science behind it and knowing how you can better improve that. I have learned a ton today. How about you, Lauren?
Yeah. And I'm going to keep learning from people like you, Dr. Sarah.
Exactly. No, we are so thankful for you, and your knowledge and expertise in this. So I had a lot of fun today.
Yeah. Not bad time.
Not a bad time at all.
Not a bad time.
Learning from the experts. So we're excited to launch a series with Dr. Sarah based off of breathing and more of what she does. So you can like visually see some of the stuff. Obviously, this is an audio podcast. So we want to be able to give our listeners kind of a visual representation of kind of some of the things that you were talking about. So if you want to give a little insight of what our listeners can expect coming up here shortly.
We're planning on doing a series, and I'm quite excited about it because, to be honest, if there's one thing I could do to try to change the world, it would be if everybody could breathe better. I think that would be like the first step to world peace or something. I mean, we could all like be a little more relaxed and
for sure.
I think that would be the first step.
We're all lined up. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, but there is actually quite a bit to breathing, and it's kind of appalling the lack of understanding around the mechanics and discussing it. So we're gonna launch some videos and talk about the mechanics of breathing, both ideal breathing with your core, which we kind of touched on a little bit, but we can go a little bit more in depth in how you can decompress the back and relax the neck. And I have even had people increase their height because of how they're breathing, because they can finally position themselves and decompress their spine better. We can do a lot with breathing. So we're going to talk about those mechanics a little bit more in detail, show you what it looks like. So show some exercises that will help you train that breathing a little bit more. And that would be really a nice supplement right before you're about to take your O+.
I love that.
And we'll talk a little bit about dysfunctional breathing and why it might not, the certain styles of breathing might not be ideal for certain types of demands for activity and movement.
Fantastic. Well, Ben and I cannot wait.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun series for
sure. And our breath addicted, stress reducing lovers of Oxygen Plus will hopefully join that bandwagon too. Bring me on board. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to seeing everybody.
Where can our listeners follow you and learn more about what you do and your passions and everything on social?
Well, you can find me on my website. So it's sarahpetrick.com, and that's Sarah with an H, and Petrick, which is spelled different than it sounds. So it's spelled pet as in an animal and rich like money. And and you can also find me on Instagram or Facebook under Dr. Sarah Petrick.
Awesome.
All right. We all will right now.
We will. We
all right. You better. I'm going to be looking for your follow, Lauren.
If I had an account, you'd have it. Oh, Oxygen Plus will follow you. Yeah. Do we?
There you go.
Ben.
I'll have to double check.
Check with our team. See
yeah,
if there's...
I will. Yeah.
Ben, I'm gonna be looking for you too.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. You'll find me.
All right, Dr. Sarah, we know you have a busy day and patients waiting to learn how to breathe, so we're gonna let you go. But with it, we have so much gratitude, and you're such a blessing to us here today. You've enlarged and enlightened our lives. Does that sound too new agey, Ben?
No, that sounds great.
Okay,
that's
cool.
No better way to put it.
Thanks for the hot takes too. Yeah. New word I learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben will keep us up to date.
Perfect. Well, thanks again, Sarah. Super awesome to have you on here.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to We're Not Blowing Hot Air, hosted by Lauren Carlstrom and me, Ben Johnson. Today's episode was produced by Heidi Norman and was edited and engineered by Scott Deming. Do us a solid and share, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you podcast. And follow Oxygen Plus on all social media platforms for the latest and greatest happenings at O+.